Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, since this is our celebration, Rockets Over Rhema, you know, I always try to do a sermon for the season, you know, whatever it is. And so today, standing on our promises for freedom. Next weekend, we will have 4th of July. It's a great time of celebration, but I'm afraid that too many people, especially younger people, don't understand the significance of the 4th of July. Amen? You know, did y'all check in on your phones and your iPads? Well, if you checked in on your phone and your iPad and you're not looking up scripture, then we need to put our iPhones and our iPads away. Okay, good. Now, listen to what I have to say. I'm afraid that too many people don't understand the 4th of July. It celebrates our freedom, going all the way back to the beginning when we had the Revolutionary War. And then so many of the younger people don't understand that if it hadn't been for America, the world would have either been speaking German or Japanese, one of the two, if it hadn't have been for us. Many times, many of the younger people, and they haven't been taught it in school like some of the rest of us are. They say, well, why do we go to other countries? Because we have always believed in people being free. That's why we go to help somebody else be free. You know, but too many people don't really understand liberty and freedom. Many people in the United States have the mistaken idea that our freedom is, you know, that we just don't understand it. But to bring it closer to home, many Christians have the mistaken idea. It's also about freedom in Christ. Some people seem to think that freedom and liberty is doing whatever you like, regardless of the effect it has on somebody else. Some people think that getting what you want in an unrestrained manner, regardless if it destroys or intimidates somebody else. Acting without regard to the laws of the land whenever the law doesn't suit what they want to do. We must find resources that can accurately define freedom and liberty. I think one of the places is in the Bible, in Luke 4:18. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Luke 4:18. And then we're going to go to Galatians 5:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, in these verses, we see that God wants us to be free spiritually, to receive the rights and privileges that are entitled to us because of what he did on Calvary. But we also glean the idea, I believe, from these scriptures that he wants us to be free in every area of our life. Now, how does a dictionary define the word freedom? The quality or state of being free. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. How does the dictionary describe the word liberty? The quality or state of being free. The power to do as one please. Freedom from physical restraint. Freedom from arbitrary or dictator control, the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges, the power of choice. You know, real freedom and liberty is always within the framework of the laws of the land you live in or the covenant laws of God. It's always there. Real freedom gives a person a right to enjoy whatever the laws say are ours, or whatever the Bible says are ours. Real freedom allows a person to walk freely without fear because they know they're protected by the laws of the land and they're protected by the laws of God. First of all, I want to speak to us as American citizens. You know, I'm going to go to two different documents as I speak today that guarantees rights, liberties, and privileges. The first one that I'm going to talk about is something called the Declaration and the Constitution of the United States of America. This used to be taught in our schools. They don't talk much about it anymore because they don't like the amendments. The preamble. Many of you can quote it because some of us had to learn it and quote it in school. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. You know, there's something else that I don't think a lot of schools do. When I was in school, every morning from first grade through the 12th grade, when the bell rang, everybody stood on their feet. There was somebody down in the office, and they led us in the Pledge of Allegiance to that flag right there. Give me a light on that flag. The United States of America flag. I need a light on it, please. Everybody stand, please. Well, they're not. I'm going to bring it out here. Oh, you do it. Bring it out here and hold it, Willie. Thank you. Just set it right there on that black, right there. That's a good spot. I got a light on it there. All right. We ready? I pledge allegiance to the United of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do you know why? You may be seated. That they don't say that in schools anymore? Two words. What are the two words?
Under God.
Our problem is that most of our politicians don't even go back and understand how America was formed. It was formed under God. Amen. This country was formed by people that said, listen, it is right for people to enjoy the freedom of however they want to worship without infringing on trying to make somebody else do it their way. Have you noticed there's a group in the world today that's trying to take over and make everybody believe their way? When you pledge allegiance to that flag, you say that I am pledging myself for liberty and justice for all. How many military people do I have in here, either present or former? Every one of us stood before a flag and pledged allegiance to that flag, to even giving our life, as if necessary, for the freedoms and the Constitution of the United States of America. Did we not? If we did, raise your hand. How many of you gave? We pledged that. Yes. The Declaration of Independence says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The foundation of this nation was built upon this. Freedoms, liberties, and rights and privileges. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but even our own government is trying to take rights and privileges away from us. They don't like the Second Amendment, which says that we have a right to defend ourselves. Let me tell you, and a lot of the older people in the crowd can tell you this. If all the weapons are taken away, then a dictator can take over with no problem. I remember as a teenager looking at Life magazine and seeing in Eastern Europe they had confiscated all the weapons and the communist soldiers came in and were taking over. They were throwing rocks at guys with guns. What we got to realize is that it doesn't make any difference. The bad people are going to get the guns anyway. Now, I'm not making a political speech. I'll get to the spiritual part in a minute. Right now, I'm talking about this part. There's two things that we Christians live by: the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States of America. What did our forefathers have to say? George Washington: let us therefore animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that free men contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. What did Benjamin Franklin have to say? They who would give up an essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty nor security. The famous statesman Patrick Henry: the liberties of a people never were nor will be secure when the transaction of their rulers may be concealed from them. That's happening. He went on to say, give me liberty or give me death. Those that signed that Declaration of Independence, go study what it meant for them to do that. They were willing to do it so that their posterity could be free. Thomas Paine said, those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. We fight not to enslave, but to set a country free and to make room upon the earth for honest men to live in it. Because of this Constitution, the founders wrote these things. So that we could be free from outside rule and tyranny. When our freedoms and our liberties are threatened, not from other countries, but from with our own countries, then we must stand up. And we must uphold and stand for the things that the Constitution says belong to us. Some people don't like the Constitution because it doesn't fit their mold. I'm sorry. That's how we were established. That's what the majority of this country believes, but the minority has taken over. So they want to change it. And yeah, people are welcome and free to come. I like what I was reading what the prince from England had to say. Hey, we welcome you to come, but if you remember, we were here before you were, and if you're going to come here, then you're going to live, you're free to practice how you believe, but you're going to live under our laws. That's what the people here need to realize. We welcome them to our shores, but they're going to live under our laws, not theirs. Hey, I'd make a great politician, y'all.
I'm for president.
But we must realize that the Constitution of the United States, it's the foundation upon which this nation rests. Without the words written in this document, we don't have a country. We must contend for the freedoms of our nation. Abraham Lincoln said this: America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroy ourselves. The way it's supposed to work in our country, when freedom is challenged, we go back to what the Constitution says. And we stand upon the Constitution of the United States of America. So much for that. Now there's another document that we live by. That's the Bible, the Word of God. John 8, 31 through 30, 31, 32, and 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now skip to 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. God tells us several things here. Standing upon the word will give us freedom and liberty in the spiritual realm over our enemy. Actually, when you know what the Bible says and you know what this says, then it takes you out of ignorance of not knowing what belongs to you. Don't let somebody else, don't let a politician, don't let a preacher, don't let somebody else tell you what belongs to you. Hey, you have a Bible. You can get a hold of the Constitution. Read it and know it for yourself. Don't let somebody else tell you what is yours and what you should have and what you don't have. Come on. Knowing our rights and privileges in both of these documents enables us to take advantage of what belongs to you as a citizen of the U.S. and as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ hung on a cross and he shed blood for our salvation, to deliver us from the grip of the tyrannical Satan himself. This flag here, there is blood that has drenched the ground, even in the United States of America itself, with that horrible civil war that tried to correct an injustice, and then it took as many years to correct the thing. The blood of many of your relatives and friends, so that we could sit here this morning not being told that we can't go to our church and worship as we please. I've been in countries where they do that. Any of you been to some of those countries? Anybody been there? I've been in countries where the government just says at Friday night at 5 o'clock, all service stations will close and they will not open up again until 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Or all stores will close. I was there when it happened. I said, how can that be? He said, well, that's what the government does. I said, that never happened in America. Although if I'm afraid if some things don't change, it might. It was unexpected. If you didn't have fuel in your car and you couldn't get to the fuel station, you're not going anywhere during the weekend because there's no station open. The government simply said all stations closed and won't open again until 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Don't look at me like that. It happens. That's what happens when we lose the freedoms of this declaration right here that I hold in my hand. Then the government tells us what to do. When we allow the enemy to overrun us, then he tells us what to do and we lose our rights and privileges in Christ. Both of these documents say what belongs to us because of who we are. Both of these documents, when they're obeyed, give us liberty, happiness, peace, security, joy. Amen? Jesus Christ freed us from the enemy. He freed us from the power of degradation of sin. He freed us from sickness and disease. He freed us from terror and fear. He freed us from poverty and lack. You know, we drive down the street, we walk, we talk, we go places, we do things. We never think or have any fear. But I want to tell you what, there are countries today, you drive down the street, everybody is free. They don't know when somebody's going to attack. Hello? We can walk free in Christ because we know that we have the weapons to defend him. And we can walk free when we know that we have the people in place with weapons to defend our country. The new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased us our freedom. Hebrews 8:6. But now who has obtained a more excellent freedom, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Amen. We have a better covenant. Amen. We have better promises. Yes. The question somebody asks is, why are so many Christians living in bondage? Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. When you don't have knowledge of what the Bible says, the enemy can take you captive. When you don't have knowledge of what this says and stand up for it, the enemies, even within our own borders, will take us under. Hello. You know, you can't walk in freedom and liberty if you don't know what it is. You can't walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior and live according to the laws of the Word of God. Jesus made you free from some things, into some things. We were made free in this nation from some things, and we were made into some things. Jesus made us free from Satan, but he made us free into all the promises that God has for us. Our freedom has delivered us from dictatorship and so forth and so on, but it's delivered us into that we must stand up for what belongs to us. You know, I've been talking for a few minutes now, and as I've been talking about freedom, Everybody is making up their own mind. I don't know about all that. Well, let me tell you what. We have to contend for the freedom of this word as well as we contend for the freedom of this document. They are trying to take this away from us. Our liberty to worship as we please. Hello? If anybody challenges us, we should immediately go back to what the Word of God says, that we've been promised freedom and liberty, and stand upon that freedom and liberty that was given to us because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from sin. James 1:25. If you don't know who he was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. Here, James calls the word of God the perfect law of liberty. In the natural, this is a perfect law of liberty for us. James admonishes us to continue in the perfect law of liberty. God told us through James, and James happened to be the brother of Jesus, to walk in liberty. It's possible for you to be free from sin. It's possible for you to be free from addictions. It's possible for you to be free from destruction behavior. See, all of this comes back to what the Word says. All our freedom spiritually comes back to what the Word says. All our freedom in the natural comes back to what this document says. See, we need to realize that we're living in two worlds at the same time. We're living in a spiritual world and a natural world. Both of them have responsibilities on our part. When we accept Jesus Christ begin to live for him, then we have a responsibility to see that this word is continually carried out in the lives, our lives, and the lives of people that we come in contact with. Is that not what the Bible says? Hello? Naturally, we speak to things. You need to learn to speak to your mountains that stand in your way. The Word of God says, see, I'm going back to what this Word says. I could go to tell you what you have to do here, but then you need to read that and find out yourself. But the Word here says, if you speak to your mountain, well, here that's a figurative of speech that means any kind of problem, situation, circumstance that comes your way. Speak to the mountain that stands in your way. Because the Word says you can. This document says you can. Hello? Speak to your circumstances. Speak to the substance that wants to trap you in a destructive lifestyle. Speak to lack and poverty that wants to trap you. Speak to sickness and disease that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. To remain silent is to lose your freedom. If you remain silent here, you'll remove it. But I'm going to tell you, if you remain silent here, the devil will come in and he will take charge over you, and he will do exactly what Jesus said, that the devil had come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You need to find out what this document says and begin to live in line with this document. You need to find out what this one says and begin to vote in line with it so that you can live what this document says. To remain silent in the spiritual realm and not speak to the enemy, he will take advantage of you. To remain silent and not know what this says and not vote for what this says, not what some potty says, not what some party says, not what this guy says or that guy says. Who could care less what they say? Are they in favor of this? If they're not in favor of this, if they want to take any of this away from us, they are not worthy to sit in the White House. And if you put them there, you're going to lose your freedom. Now, I'm not for any political, I am personally, but I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If we don't do something, if you sit home and don't vote because you don't like either candidate, you might as well vote for, you voted for us not to have liberty. Get out and vote. You say, I don't particularly like either candidate. Hey, then pick the best of the worst. Hello? Do something. Many times people come to me, oh, Pastor, I need this, I need that. I said, hey, I can't help you, but God can. Find out the word of God. Begin to speak to the enemy yourself. See, when you speak to the enemy, you are voting for the power of God to be in demonstration in your life. When you do the right thing here, you're voting for liberty to be in your life. It's up to us, people. We can either sit and let the devil destroy us. We can either sit in the natural and be destroyed. But it's your call, not mine. All I'm trying to do is stir up your pure minds to realize some things. Open your mouth and declare God's word. Parents, some of you parents, especially the older and grandparents, you need to teach your young people about what communism and socialism really is. They don't know. They haven't been taught it in school like we were. How many of you were taught about communism, socialism in school? Hey, you go look at these places that have it. They're supposed to have everything free. The only thing they get free is all the politicians up here live the good life. Everybody else lives down here and done what, like paupers and palms. Hey, come on, speak, open. What am I saying? Open up your mouth and speak. Teach your kids the principles of God's word. Teach them the principles of this nation. I'm talking about both sides of the fence here. We got natural and we got spiritual. Come on. How many of you are with me this morning? How many understand what Pastor's trying to say to you? I'm concerned about our natural, and I'm concerned about our spiritual. And we both have to get a hold of both sides of it, and we got to run on both sides of the fence at the same time. Hallelujah. To remain silent is to lose your liberty. To remain silent is to allow the enemy of God to take charge in your life and destroy you. So it's up to you to open our mouth and declare. We've already opened our mouth and declared allegiance to this flag. And we got another flag, the Christian flag back there. Willie, can you bring that one out too? Hallelujah to Jesus. Everybody stand. I spoke long enough. I did a pretty good speech this morning. All right. As we look at this Christian flag that represents Jesus Christ dying on the cross, say this with me. I stand on and hold your Bible at the same time. I stand on the promises of God. Jesus has set me free from sin. He set me free from sickness and disease. He set me free from torment and fear. He set me free from lack and poverty. He set me free from addiction and habit. I am free in Christ. I have what this word says I have. I can do what this word says I can do. I'm putting the enemy, the devil himself, on record right now. This word is what I live by. This word is what I will die by.
This word
will give me everything I need. And Mr. Devil, you can't take it away from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all got something? Patrick, somebody, whoever's got it.
Yeah. Say this. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Yeah. Come on, declare that again.
Just a moment. If you happen to be in this place this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave here today. Or you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. You just go to church. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want you to be free like these people were singing about. Free. No more shackles. No more chains. Nothing binding me. Come on. Anybody, anywhere, rushers, help me because it's dark. I can't see. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Well, I don't see any hands raised. Heavenly Father, if there happens to be one person under the sound of my voice in this room or out there that does not know you, I pray that they will not be free to do anything until they stop and accept your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know what? I feel in my heart that I need to lead somebody that's watching in the sinner's prayer right now. Would y'all just say it with me? Hey, if you're there, you're watching, and you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life, I really feel like there's somebody watching. Maybe more than one. I don't know. But I know somebody needs this. So just repeat this prayer with me in this congregation right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sin. You said in your holy word, if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart, I would be saved. I'm confessing with my mouth and I believe in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new person. In Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want us to do something right now. I want us to sing God Bless America.
Oh, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans wide with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet.
There. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this country. You said in your word, if we would pray, you would hear us and you would heal our land. Father, I thank you for this country. I thank you, Father, that you will bless us and help us. May we retain the title, a Christian nation. Father, I thank you that you would move in our behalf, so that we can continue to take the gospel around the world. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.